Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Today's episode, letters and comments I got about what is a sports card. The episode Rich and I discussed about 2 months ago was originally motivated by a suggestion from Mike Steveline, and we thought that's interesting, and so we just batted around, didn't do a lot of preparation. But since then, I've gotten some good feedback from some regular contributors, and I thought I'd bring that up. I don't like to respond one-on-one as much as if somebody has a good question, I'll address it and give everybody the benefit of the interchange. But thanks, sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, Compsy.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. First, Mike Steveline's original suggestion, which I think we strayed from this, but he was mainly talking about the 50s. The 50s, I think, were just almost the golden age of collecting. It's when I started collecting, and the just amazing breadth of sets, even though you had mainly just tops. Bowman was not there except the first half of the decade, but there's so many to choose from. If you just wanted to be a 50s collector, card collector, Mike's point is, if you're just a card collector from the 50s, where are the limits? I'll note the American Card Catalog, Jefferson Burdick's life work. Burdick was active into the 50s, but he passed away in the early 60s, and he has the American Card Catalog. So it's not just memorabilia. I'm not saying he didn't have some pennants or different things that came along with cards necessarily, but it's intended to be a card catalog. And most of the price guides, Beckett Baseball Card Monthly, and some of the price guides were, I need to say 99% cards, because in some cases there are questionable. So Mike, he's not worried about Bowman and Topps regular issue cards, although in the 60s, Topps issued some inserts that, even though they came in a pack, they're not even card-like. They're different situations. Then he talks about 59 bazookas and some of the bazookas that didn't come in a pack. Blank backs, for the most part, they really were just part of a box. But they were intended to be collected, and even though they're not standard size, I say those are. On the other hand, he mentions postcards. What about postcards? Many postcards are not really postcards. They're photo cards. If it's a postcard, there's been, I think, more than one standard size over the years that's evolved based on what the U.S. Postal Service does. But a postcard can be mailed. It's got stuff on the back. Many of the things that are postcard size are just photo cards, or really photos. They're on photographic paper, and they are less card-like than a postcard. A postcard is card in the name. Posters, most of the posters I know of are beyond standard size. If you do plastic sheets, there are 8.5 by 11 plastic sheets that you can put in a regular binder. Any poster bigger than that is questionable. Again, most posters don't have anything on the back. That's another negative. This is very parallel to the discussions I've had with Victor Roman about what has historically been a rookie card. Rookie card, it's hard to be called a rookie card if it's not even a card. So you have to be a card, perhaps, to get an RC or rookie card designation. So posters typically aren't considered cards. He mentions Dixie lids. And frankly, there's been candy lids and other things that have been done. It's hard for me to say they're not a card, because they're on card stock, even though many of them are circular. And not just circular, they have a tab. And I would just note that almost all of the Dixie lids and candy lids that I've seen that have tabs, the tab was never creased, which means that it was never in the ice cream or whatever the lid was for. Pennants, even though you could have a fabric card, perhaps, I think pennants are not cards. He talks about some of the regional hot dog cards, the Wilson Wieners, Conn's Wieners, and Stallmeyer. A lot of them were Wieners, and they were in the card. I can't remember now, because I did get Conn's Wieners when I was a little boy, when my mom went to the grocery store. I don't remember, but the card was the bottom of the hot dog package, where there were six hot dogs in there, and they are sitting on top. I don't think there was any liner, and there was hot dog juice, I think, but with the card sitting on the face of the card or the backside of the card. I really don't remember. Mike talks about Red Man Tobacco, and is it a problem that they don't really have stats on the back? They've just got the same verbiage on the back, really about a contest, which reinforces that it's a card, because it was intended to be collected. Because if you got 50 of these and cut off the tabs, which now turns out to have been a really bad idea, to cut off 50 tabs or stubs, they called them, and exchange them for a cap that probably now is pretty worthless. The difference in with and without tabs is a multiple of two or three in most cases. So the red bands were intended to be collected. I consider them to be cards when I was collecting heavy in the 70s and putting those sets together. No one was saying, hey, that's not a card. Team postcards, posters, pennants, those really weren't cards back in the historical situation. Okay, one of the other questions I got from, or comments I get, is Stukes, baseball cards and curiosity, very into exhibit cards. And I don't blame him. He mentions how historically that's what was there where he was. I love exhibit cards too. They're tricky because they're not numbered in most cases. And it's hard to tell what year. They're oversized. And the exception now is the 1925 exhibit of Lou Gehrig, which many people are considering that his rookie card. I will say this, some of the exhibit cards actually have postcard backs, and especially I think in the 20s. And if it's a postcard, to me, then it's a card. If it's a set of players. Now, many of the postcards are stadium postcards and things like that. I think those still could be called cards, but they're on the fringe. Certainly exhibit cards from the 50s, I don't think they were intended to be mailed, so they weren't in a postcard back by that time. But Stukes has really researched it. When I did original research on the exhibits in some of the price guides there, it was tricky to describe a card that this is the version that came out in this year. But that has been done by others, and I thank them for that. The original research is important. First of all, you just got to get a bunch of exhibits and arrange them by player, check out the differences, and then try to look at uncut sheets or any other way that you could figure out when something came out, perhaps by when somebody was only on a team. So I think exhibits are definitely cards. I don't dispute that. But Victor and I discussed it. They could even be a card that came out in the rookie year, which might give it what we think might be better classified as an RY, a rookie year designation, rather than a rookie card. Stukes mentions that the exhibit cards were not just in the machines on the boardwalk where you put in and it slid back out, but there were also cello packs as well. I do remember that, and I've seen those before. Okay, now from Torsten Bauer, my German friend, mentions, is it a card, not just a card, but a sports card? And if it's a non-sports set that has one athlete in it, again, he's the Shaq collector, and they're the classic Death Watch 2000 set that's got a really interesting art card of Shaq. You can't tell Torsten, you can't collect that. That's not a sports card. It's definitely a card. It's standard size, but it's in a non-sports set. That's also problematic for Victor with rookie cards. And people are making their own rules, especially when they are player collectors. And finally, from Mookie Chilson, mentioned the dilemma that we also had when we were doing the basketball card price guide, and Rich was involved in that too, the basketball annual or biannual price guides that listed all the cards, not just the magazine, the abridgment, but all the cards, all the sets that we knew of. Mookie talks about, what if this set is 51% sports cards or 49% sports cards, the minority? What do you do in the checklist of the basketball cards if there's a few basketball cards in a non-sport or multi-sport set? I think, at least when I was doing it, it was more of a case-by-case basis. A huge set with just a few basketball cards, we might just list the basketball cards. After all, that was the research we were doing on what basketball cards were going for, putting prices on those when it was lots of other stuff. That'd be really a different set of contributors, and we probably would not list the whole set. We might make mention of that, but especially if it was non-sport, we'd let it go. And same thing for the others. In baseball, again, if it's 51% sports cards, we might list the non-sports, but when it is, then it's mainly a baseball set. And then Mookie finally is just saying he really enjoyed the episode about what is a sports card. I think he really enjoys Rich for sure, and I think he's always had some really good questions, but he just thinks there's more to say about that, because we just can't be the last word. And so that wasn't the last word. This isn't the last word, but this is a further word. Since then, I got contacted by my friends at BGS. They're just across town, but they had a card that was questionable. And one of the things that was questionable about it had very thin cardstock, such that it's possible that it had been reprinted. And so they sent me the image. And yes, I said, I have that somewhere here. And so I would have what is not necessarily original, but something I've had for 40 years. But it could have been reprinted because it was after that time. The interesting thing is that when I went up there and looked at the physical card, it did not feel the same as my original card. In fact, it felt thicker which is really strange. Now, maybe I'm just slipping, but by touch and feel is some of the things about whether something's a card or a reprint. Again, reprint can still be a card, but a reprint that's intended to deceive. This was perfectly centered, which the ones that I had were not perfectly centered. And it was like a 10 of something that was a flimsy card. So I'm already suspicious, and it felt newer, just felt differently. So I recommended to pass, to return it back and say no, whether they want to say questionable authenticity, but not to slab and grade a card that is questionable. If in doubt, something like that, I would pass on it. But Mookie talks about four different categories. The material, whether it's paper, cardstock, cardboard, plastic. I'd add in fabric, newsprint, but which ones are acceptable? I think if it's 2.5 by 3.5, I think you get some latitude for even, there are cards that are, that tops is box toppers that they've had that are fabric renditions of cards. Number two, he had for the shape and the size and the dimensions. And as we've said, it could be round. Rectangle is best. There's also squares, octagons, all those things. But it's like you know it when you see it. It looks like a card. But now, as we've mentioned with Pacific, it wasn't the die cutting where the size is really tricky. But it was intended to be a card. Number three and number four that Mookie had, one was just on the content and the editorial aspects. And then number four, his last one was the distribution. And I think those are really important just because something's 2.5 by 3.5 on cardstock, it's most likely a card, but it's locked in to be a card if it was distributed in a certain way. Again, not just a card, but a card that has potential to be a rookie card if it had a certain level of distribution. Again, if it's just a plain photo with no back, no border, no graphic treatment, that's just a photo. The fact there would be statistics or numbering, those are all positives. Because otherwise, the problem you have, as I've reflected on this and had other comments it shows, is that if you don't watch out, then pocket, then any picture of a player on card or on paper, or any pocket sked is a card. And I don't think I want to go that far. I don't want a poster to be a card, but I want something that could go in a plastic sheet, to potentially be a card. I know I haven't resolved it fully, but if you've got further questions, I'm happy to do it. This was enough that I thought I could have more than 10 minutes of discussion. Again, if you want to collect something, I'm not going to stop you. In fact, newsflash, if something is not considered a card, it's usually cheaper. Once you consider it a card and people start chasing it, going after it, that's Stook's point, is that he's happy when people are leaving the exhibits alone while he's going out and not feasting, but aggressively collecting them. And they're a great chase because there's some really obscure, difficult exhibits in there, and they're nice. Well, anyway, thanks. I'll be back again in a couple of days, another episode. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy collecting. Again, Sports Card Insights.